We're all celebrating the same feast days. We've had the Epiphany, we've had the baptism of the Lord. And I keep saying to myself, we have to put aside the stable scene, the huge child there, boo-boo, and all that stuff, because he's matured, and he's come to bring his message. And it's a message that challenges us to grow in our relationship with him each day. So that's one thing I want to share. The manger is gone, and the mature Lord is before us, calling us, inviting us, challenging. Also want to say, I'm thankful to your pastor for inviting me to come here today and be with you and with him, as he says, I guess you might call it a formal farewell. He mentioned we've known one another for a lot of years. When I was pastor at St. Peter's, and we knew one another because we became engaged in the mainline clergy fellowship. And the fourth Thursday of every month, we gather from the various churches, Methodist, Baptist, Episcopalian, sometimes the Roman Catholics, and Lutherans, we gather and have breakfast and talk. And it's a warm and friendly experience. So I got that off of my chest. And so it's time to think a little bit about Peter. The first thing I did when Jeff invited me to speak and said that I would do Peter and he would do Paul, I looked at the pictures. I don't know. What would it like me? But in any event, I looked at the pictures and I said, well, good. This guy, Peter, he was a mess. They were all messes. What do you think of that? I mean, we have them on pedestals. And we think of them as, you know, pretty much whoop-de-doo. They just about do. They were unsure. And Peter was, I really loved Peter because he was so certain. And most of the time, so wrong. First of all, he meets because of the influence of his brother Andrew, who heard Jesus speak and went to where Jesus lived and spent a little time with him. And then he came home and he said, Pete, you'll never guess. I think I found the Messiah. Peter is a grizzly older fisherman. He's not going to be taken in by what his younger brother Andrew has to say. But he does agree to go and listen. And he is amazed. He is amazed. And as time went on, his comfort with Jesus, his knowledge about Jesus, grew in some ways, but he remained still a smelly fisherman, doing his everyday work, and, gradually maybe being influenced by this unusual person. And, he was always sort of, Peter was sort of half cold, but he would say that. He would say things that are really strong to the Lord. Remember when, of course, Jesus called the apostles and he called Peter first. I thought that was a nice sign, Peter. You have a special place, maybe. And then I remember he took them up the mountain where he prayed, he said, transfigured before them. Peter's first impulse was to build something. Let's build three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. So Jesus kind of said, oh, forget it, Peter. And they came down the mountain, and Jesus revealed to them at that because some men will suffer and be killed and will rise. And don't tell anybody about this, Peter. James and John, be quiet about it a little bit. Or you'll mess up my plan. And Peter said to them as they walked along, what is this rising from the dead all about? He didn't understand, but he stayed with the Lord. And that went on in his relationship. I think one of the next things that I recall is feeding the multitude. There's a big lesson in that for us. Feeding the multitude. Peter comes to him and says, what are you feeding these guys? Two loaves of fish. And Jesus suddenly says, bring to me what you have. So he brings it. And then all of a sudden, somehow it's enough. And they go in the street. I thought that was a powerful story. We have to bring to the Lord what it is that we have to offer. Who we are. We're also very unique. And we're to bring that so that by His power, it might be able to feed others and help them come to wonder more about the Lord. When I was talking to the congregation at St. Joe's about Christmas, I told them I'd like to insert myself in the Gospels of time. So I took the major scene and I said, where I fit in there, I wonder. Well, the first thing I had in mind was perhaps Dundee. I told the congregation by a decree. Perhaps a donkey. And I said, nah, I'm not a good sheep. I'm a cow. I certainly could not be married. I don't think I would, even though my name is Joseph, I don't think I would make it to Joseph. And I certainly don't qualify to be one of the wise men. So where would I fit? And I thought, you know, it would be wonderful, and I encourage you to think about this a little bit, it would be wonderful if I could be the manger. Because the manger was where the shepherds and the wise men came to learn something about the King who was born. So we need to be mangers, in a sense, that people can find in us something of the Lord's presence and worship Him. So I thought of that. I jumped kind of to the Last Supper. I see Jesus washing the feet of the apostles. And I see Peter. He's been with the Lord for 3 good years now. You know, I think he knows what it's all about. And Jesus is washing the feet. He comes to Peter. And Peter says, oh, no! You'll never wash my feet. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, if I don't wash your feet, Peter, and have nothing more together. And Peter's response was, then not my feet. Wash the Lord from head to toe. He didn't care how silly he might have looked in front of the other apostles before whom he was protesting that I'm better than they are. I'm not going to let you wash my feet. But he showed in that meeting about things, the depth of his love for the Lord. I don't care how good you look, I will show my love for him. Wash me from head to toe, he said. And as I was sitting here today, I thought, maybe we could describe the love that Peter had for Jesus, and vice versa, as a gorilla glue. They were really stuck together. They really had a love that would not end. And Peter makes another, mess of things. Though all these other guys might deny you, I will never deny you. It wasn't long before he denied him three times. At one time, he said to the Lord, this shouldn't happen to you. And Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan." I mean, that would really knock the spark out. But Peter hung in there. He had a gorilla doing love for the Lord. So, and of course, he did deny him three times. And he was annoyed with Jesus as they were on the bank of the river, Jordan. They were on the bank there where they usually fish, I guess. And Jesus has a fish on the fire. And Peter, of course, I'm a fisherman. Jesus might be a good preacher. He doesn't know anything about fish. Throw your net over the other side. We fished all night long. But I will do it at your word. I will do whatever you ask of me, even though from all my experience, that's a dumb idea. And he threw the net over and he caught so many fish. He had to get his strength to help. And then he came and had a meal with the Lord. What an unusual man is this Peter. And Jesus would say, we heard it in the scripture today, "Peter, you're the rock. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld will not prevail against it." I imagine Peter didn't exactly grasp what all that meant, really. He's kind of slow that way, maybe. But he knew whatever it meant, he would go on loving the Lord. That was his whole job. So here we are, all of us. We're a little bit like Peter, but maybe a little sandstone. Not quite so firm. A little bit like Peter. We need to become a little bit more like Peter. It wasn't all over when he denied that he knew Christ and ran out of fear. He came later on to encounter the Lord in the upper room where they were all locked, kind of shivering, kind of that maybe the Sadducees and the Pharisees and other people want to get us next. But he persevered. And I guess, what was interesting was when the Spirit came upon them all, he really let loose. He went out and proclaimed the word to people from all over, everywhere, proclaimed the word of Jesus as Lord and Messiah. And I think it said that on that day, 3,000 turn to the Lord. He was filled with God's Spirit and all the love and determination he had poured out and transformed the lives of so many others. We need to love for the Lord like that. Someone gave me a little article the other day that said, I think you probably heard the song a while ago, "I Got to Be Me." I thought that's pretty cool. I mean, I can't be St. Teresa of Calcutta. I can't be Peter, of course. I got to be me. That's what the Lord expects. Each one of us, unique, individual, called into full existence by Him, with our strength and weakness. pretend to be him. I just have to be me, the best me I can be. Maybe, you know, being major, but I might be able to be a little bit of that. So, Peter calls us to that. Calls us to not be concerned when we've made some kind of a mistake, because we live in God's love for us and in our love for Him. And on that love is poured the Gorilla Glue that keeps us proclaiming the Lordship of Jesus in a world that isn't necessarily all that open to hearing. I hope this is the last one I have. I didn't even know earlier. I just lost it. Oh, yeah. Should have done this at the beginning. We celebrated this child. Do you know the first example, the first sign of his unconditional love for all of us? The first sign was he became an immigrant. The fear that his life would be taken by the violence that was around, Mary and Joe packed him up, got on the donkey, and went to a land he didn't know the land. They just went because they wanted to protect their child. That was his first lesson. We have to learn that completely in our day, too. So I want to thank you for tolerating me and for allowing me to share with you all. I don't know when the Lenten lunches begin, but they're going to begin before too long. Perhaps some of you have participated in them before. Various ministers at various churches share about the Lord and the Lord.